Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. We've got a very, very cool guest tonight. I have been looking forward to this episode. He's returning. He's been on the show a few times, and every time this phenomenal filmmaker comes on, he's got the best stories. So, I mean, he's making movies. He's having adventures. It's just, I love talking to him. So I'd like to welcome filmmaker Justin Price, and he has a new movie out, Abominable. What am I saying? Abdominal. That would be a crazy movie. Justin, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for, like, just an awesome intro. It's always a pleasure to be here, and such a great opportunity, man, to talk films with someone like you. Passionate and engaging, so thank you.
Oh, I appreciate it. You know, it's so crazy. I tell your stories. I don't know, your ears probably ring. Man, I remember the time you came on, you had done, I think it was Alien Rain of Man, where you had filmed in Iceland, and you were telling about, getting nervous and stuff. And then you were in the desert with the Pharaoh. I mean, so this time, Yeti, how did this come about?
Oh, my goodness. You know, this one came out just, again, good energy to Jamal Burden, the director of the film. It was written by Joseph Daniel Ellis and special effects makeup by Joe Castro. Just amazing. This came about, oddly enough, we were sitting down, and I think we were like, yo, we haven't seen a monster movie in a while. And we were like, like something that, you know, something practical, not like you run in the woods and then there's like a digital version of something. And you have to kind of act in front of a green screen or so. We thought, let's just do something practical. It's been such a long time since we've been able to flex that, man. And it's this really crazy thing. I was in the room, and I remember I was talking to my producing partner, who was there, and I think Deanna, and we were all just sitting there. And I was like, hey, what scares you? Because remember, you were young, you used to be scared of just the nighttime. If you were just alone and the closet was open, there was always something going on. And they were like, I'm just afraid of if something kind of creepy opened the window and just kind of snatched us out or took us or something. I was like, wait. I was like, you mean like a boogeyman? It's like, yeah, like a Bigfoot, like something like, you know, like a creature that came into the house. I was like, oh, my goodness. I just started laughing because I was like, that's not really that scary to me. And then I thought about it. I was like, you know, I don't think it's scary. It's not really that scary, but if you think about it, I was like, yeah, because you can't really explain that to people. Like, yeah, you know, my girlfriend died. How? You know, Yeti just kind of just came. So, Keith. Go ahead.
It's crazy. I think, and like every culture, I think, has like their version, you know, of the Yeti. You know what I mean? It's like the big wild creature, you know. And it's funny because a lot of people are like, oh, you know, when they talk about Bigfoot, I was that way for a long time until I went to the Pacific Northwest and I was on a Greyhound bus looking out the window and I'm like, there absolutely could be something out there that nobody's seen.
That's what you're in, man. It draws you in because it's one of those things where I think we've taken so much magic out of a lot of things, right? You do something and someone will tell you 17 scientific ways to explain how the candle was made instead of just letting you believe the candle self-lit itself. Like there's all, actually because of the whatever, you know? And so for me, the things that still remain at the folklore, and I just kind of grew up with that, like aliens. It's still so cool. You can't just say that's not the case. Like it's not real. So if you see an alien movie or if you want to do an alien film, you have free reign because they still haven't been explained. You know, I can do one about whatever, and you can make your imagination can be there. I mean, even the abominable, the snowman looks like a flesh color. Like he looks like, you know, like he lost all his hair. But it's kind of creepy because, I mean, it's like, what happened to the Yeti? It's like, how old is he? You know, he's so old. Right. He shedded everything on his body. But it's kind of gross looking as well. So it's just something that you can still play in that folklore that way and have so much fun, man. And that's what I loved about it. That's what kind of drew me in to want to produce this. I was like, you know, I just want to have fun with that because you can still – and the response has been great. People have just had a good time. Just like, you know what, it's really cool to see this creature kind of come through, rip off jaws, rip arms off. I mean, it's just so many really, really cool, brutal kills in this movie. Oh, my goodness. I was talking, and some people were like, oh, I thought it was going to be a fun movie. I thought it was like a happy time with the. I was like, okay.
It wasn't. No. You saw Justin Price in the credits there. Come on, man. You should know better than that, you know. I love it. I love it. Well, you know, the cool thing, too, is, and especially, you're right, you don't see a lot of practical effects and whatnot. You just don't. And I don't know if it's, you know, skill level of, you know, makeup artists, you know, or if it's just, you know, easier to do CGI and whatnot. You've done both, obviously, and have done both well. Is it harder to do practical
What I've come to, this is what has been really weird. It's a lot of things that's happened right now. So I know we spoke a little bit about COVID, and I'm just going to use it to segue into something that's interesting when it comes to the mindset of, I guess, creativity. A few things that really, really sparked my interest. Number one, you see Seth Meyers, you see Trevor Noah and people doing their in-the-house sort of daily show and et cetera, right? And I'm laughing because somebody's like, yeah, you know exactly what I'm going to say. I'm like, this is what happens, Trevor Noah, when you don't have 98 million people to produce the show, et cetera, et cetera. Now you have your phone.
You're looking rough.
And you look like everybody else who would make the show, right? Mm-hmm. You look like my friend who has his own podcast / show that is, like, just making good content. But I was interviewed by someone in Vegas. I can't remember the name of the station. But I was like, now let me ask you a question. Is Trevor Noah's jokes funny, not funny? Is he still Trevor Noah, or is he not Trevor Noah? Is he the independent Trevor Noah? And the guy's like, no, it's still Trevor Noah. I said, exactly. And that goes the key. I think sometimes, even as the people making it, you know, like you get caught up into what you don't have and what it doesn't. It's like, what does it make you feel like? Do you still see the art? You still feel like it moves you? The story still reaches audience? Because at the end of the day, it's just a better version of, you know, it just kind of without the studio audience and people laughing and the sound stage, it's still Trevor Noah. But now it's like, oh, yo, it's the bootleg Trevor Noah. It's like, no. That's still just the Daily Show. It'd be the same exact content, just presented in a different way. So I think when you're doing practical effects or visual effects, what it is, it's just about telling the story. And I think even as a creator myself, I sometimes get caught up into like, okay, how can I make this a lot easier on me, but how can I make it look better? What would make people think it looks better? What would make the audience feel like we spent a lot of money on this thing? Like, we shot some of this in Russia, Poland, you know, parts of Germany, because we didn't have any snow.
Oh, wow.
Oddly enough, it was the one time of the year where you had to go chase snow. right? And then what's funny, we found snow in three different places, but it was the kind of snow where in Russia it was snowing but close to the city. And you can't have this Yeti just running around next to St. Petersburg. It just looks very weird. You know, it wasn't going to happen. So we found, like, someone's backyard. And so I shot a few scenes, and the guys are just running, and I had to kind of have him run. Like, he's running in a loop. He's essentially running through the backyard, but in different takes. Like, he's, like, running through the woods. It's things like this. And I'm just laughing because, I mean, obviously, when I say I mean Jamal, but, you know, I'm just laughing because – I'm like, dude, this is what you have to do, man. You're young. You're starting out as a director. This is what you have to come up with ways to tell your story.
Right.
And that's what it just comes down to. Whether you have the arm coming off, whether you have a visual effects package of just blood squirts, you have to figure out which one for your particular project is going to get the story across. And I think this has really been a telling tale for that, because I can't tell you how many interviews I've done about independent film or and et cetera. I'm like, dude, I tell you, the only difference is, in my opinion, obviously not the only, one of the differences is you have to have the opportunity to present your work the way that people are used to consuming it. If you present people an opportunity, if they earn that opportunity, if they, you know, show that they understand storytelling, et cetera, then I promise you, I can do a Trevor Noah show with $17 million and 800 people setting up the cameras, et cetera. It'll look just like, oh, wow, Justin's show, it looks so good. Yes, it does. That's what happens with a budget. You know, it's kind of weird. But now
right.
I think finally, it's, oh, I see what you mean, because Seth Meyers looks rough in his basement. No makeup team. No lights. Oh my God.
And even the jokes, you are right. I mean, I had a lot of comedian friends do stand up and whatnot. And, you know, you can tell these guys, it's hard to do without that audience. You know what I mean? And make
yes.
it be effective. You know, you gotta know your kids.
It's just dry, right?
Oh,
it's just so dry. It's like the audience, it adds so much. Like watching the sports without a crowd is going to be very weird. You know,
oh,
just having
yeah.
the NBA
I mean,
players
no,
dunk the ball.
That.
And you just, like, okay. It's just,
okay.
The energy completely. All you hear is gym shoes. You know, and that's it. It is, you have to have, like, a laugh track or a soundtrack of crowd. Let's go, G. You know, let's go.
You got to do something, yeah.
That'd be what they have
oh,
to
my God.
I promise you, they produce
guys...
it. They have to produce this.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Elvay Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com. to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Well, I was going to say, you guys filmed this all over. I was curious when I was watching the trailer and whatnot for Abominable, that I'm like, man, where did they film? This doesn't look like Big Bear, you know? I mean, this, where the hell is this? You guys were all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're all over, man. Like, again, parts of – we're parts in I think, Massachusetts. We're in St. Petersburg. We're in Poznan, Poland. We're just everywhere, man, just trying to make sure we get snow. I can't tell you how hard this was to find because, I don't know, global warming, I don't know if it's real or not. All I know is we couldn't find snow. It was very difficult to find. And then
you have to have snow with the Yeti movie, you know? I mean, it's
yes,
kind
you
of
have to.
Part of it.
Yeah, it had to be that way. And heck, the crazy thing is sometimes it was so cold. And I'd be on set, and I said, you know what, if this is why I wanted to produce this film, I didn't want to be, you know, holding the camera and trying to put so many things. It's too cold for me, man. Way too cold. But I'd be watching, and then the guy would be in the Yeti suit, and he'd be out in the distance. And we didn't really warn everyone in Russia, if that makes sense. So in the woods, people would just walk by, and you see people like, "Oh shit, it's real!" Like,
there's a Yeti.
just kind of standing out there, you know, just waiting on tape, and he's kind of living in the suit, like, because it's hard to get in and out of it, you know. So, like, he's just walking away from the surface. It's just, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, so much warmer than where we were. It's freezing, man. It was so freezing, but it's just so hilarious to see that because again. That magic is there. That's why we love doing the practical, because there's something about it where those people, I never said anything either, and we never showed up with cameras. So I don't know if those people went home, and they were like, hey, man, bro, in the woods.
The Yeti
we saw it. Like, you know, it was real. Like, and now everyone's like, dude, whatever. And they try to come back, and they don't see anything, you know, but blood in the snow or fur that was left. Someone's legit. This is going to be someone's experience for their kids. Like, yeah, son, when I was 28 years old, there it was.
So I'm
nobody
out there.
Nobody believes me.
There's some African Americans.
So much fun, man.
They were gone. Yeah, those poor guys. It's rare. We don't see that many in Poland.
No.
And they were
no, you don't.
Yeti God. We always like that stuff.
We have been all over too. Oh, listen. Okay. So we're doing a show now, Paragon, starring Danny Trejo, Franziska Schisler,
yeah,
myself.
Trailer for that. Yeah.
Oh,
it was
so dope. It's so fun. So fun. We shot that trailer. I'm sorry. The show is going to be 7 episodes. Hour-long episodics, completely packaged, funded by us. The thing is legit. We've gotten called by all the distributors, you know, hey, you have a platform. The crazy thing about that is we've been in Japan, we've been in Germany, we went back to Iceland, which, you know, I love, back to Iceland. I mean, just name a place, man. We were all over because we've been working on that show for a year. So I'm telling you, when Paragon comes out, oh, it's just going to have everything in it, man. Having Danny, who's just a
On something like Paragon, no, again, I'm not in the business, so I just enjoy it from my living room. Do you shoot all the episodes, like, at the same time and then piece them all together in editing? Or is it like, okay, we're doing episode 1 here. Now we're doing episode 2. I mean, how does that process work?
Oh. You know, here goes a crazy thing. And now, obviously, this comes with a caveat because I don't know. So I'm just going to say it with that caveat. This is the first time this has been done this way. Let me be clear on that. There are shows like Insecure done by Issa Rae. who she shot her own series, and it's probably 15 minutes, six episodes, right? So she shot what Insecure would look like. HBO came in, and they said, oh, we love it, Issa Rae. It's a beautiful story. Can you come to HBO with a budget and redo Insecure and turn it into a 45-minute drama, right? So that's also a series from the UK where I think it's called Bubblegum or so. Again, they shot all four episodes, but these were like, you know, low, sort of like low cost in a way. I don't want to say independent. Just you're shooting in the living room, you're shooting at coffee shops, just things you can do at home, kind of a feel. I think Edgar Wright did this as well with Simon Pegg. He had a series called Space or something like that, where it's just him and his friends just shooting in the living room. It's not about the quality. It's just, you know, they told a good story, and then they, oh, Edgar Wright, can you guys make Hot Fuzz, you know, based off of this or whatever, right? So this is the first time this has been done where we legit just said, hey, let's do a sci-fi, let's have names, let's spend millions of dollars of our own money to actually do it, as opposed to like what you normally do is make a pilot, like a pitch pilot or a pitch deck, or like, you know, here goes a teaser with everything you might see if we had the money. And then you go in and the company would say, okay, cool, we'll buy that. Yeah, we'll buy that. We'll give you the money to go make that, the budget. So when we decided to go out on a limb and invest in ourselves and say, let's just bring them the whole show. Never been done because it's so expensive and there's no so much
most
risk. Because what if, what if Netflix is like, yeah, we hated that. What if Hulu was like, yeah, that would have been great if only you had two children in it. Right? But you can't go back and change that. You can't go back and, all right, well, let's go add two children. Let's go back and add a shark.
Because it's already done. Right.
So it's already done. So this is the first time this has been done, which is why, you know, I like to take risks. I say, let's just bet on ourselves. Let's gamble on ourselves. So, again, you know, Picture Zero, producing partner, Koo, Franziska Schisler, also producing, David Kaiseris, Lisa May, Cameron White, just actors that are in it, people like that, man. We just decided, let's just, Carolina Marie, let's just bet on ourselves. And we've been doing this for a year. We're completely crazy because I've never seen so much money go out. Listen, I was watching.
Without coming in.
Without coming in. I'm just looking at it like, this is retirement. This is retirement right now. I could just retire right now. But it was just worth it. It's worth it to take a shot, man. And I'm really praying because I don't know. And that's what made me – that's why I was so excited about it, because I don't know. Like, I legit can tell you right now, I don't know. I don't know if we get a call from someone and say, yeah, you guys just made seven great episodes and we love you. Come here and do Game of Thrones. Or they call us and say, yeah, why would you ever think we want that? I have no clue. And that's the scary part, and that's why we did it. Because a feature film, I was like, okay, if we do a feature film with names or if we do a feature film with a big budget, it still may fall into the category of, well, I mean, you had names in it, but it wasn't, you know. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, it was good.
Well, and,
but,
you know, having TV series, I'll tell you something from the trenches out here, Justin. My wife, Danny, is a good example of it. I'll say, hey, you want to watch a movie? And so many times she'll say, oh, man, I don't know if I can sit for 2 hours and watch a movie. You know, I got stuff I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. But we'll put on, she'll binge watch, oh, here's this new series on Stars or whatever it happens to be. And she's like, oh, yeah, we can watch 15 episodes of The Tiger King on Netflix or however many. You know what I mean? I'm like, you realize you just watched a 15-hour movie and you didn't have time for a two-hour movie, you know? And she's like, it's different. It's
exactly.
Different.
Exactly.
You know, so there's a market
the
out there for TV show.
Oh, yes.
You know, there definitely is.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Yeah, I believe this is the new wave.
I'm telling you, we get pissed off. We'll watch a series, and then it'll end, and then we're like, first thing we do is like go on Google and find, well, when's that season two? We gotta wait till November.
Yeah.
That's 9 months away.
Yeah,
when we're pissed.
Yeah, dude, I just sat here and watched this for 15 hours straight. Where is season two? Like, I need it again. I need to know where these characters are going. Like, what's up? Like, tell me what's going on with these characters. And that's what I think we've come to find, man. It's so exciting. It's like, I want to give Drop Paragon, and I want it to be, okay, we love it. And here goes what's next. Here goes, you know, people are interested in where the characters are going. And I really hope this is the start of, again, getting us closer to the resources we need to keep telling the stories we want to tell, because that's all this is about. It's about storytelling at the end of the day. It's about reaching audiences. It's about moving. I mean, again, people are stuck in the house right now. And if they didn't know beforehand, because I keep hearing this is a weird backwards story. I don't want to be like preachy. It's just odd because we've been saying this kind of stuff and you've been interviewing people. And so thank you so much that have been trying to, you know, get the voice out on this. If you actually thought that this medium was just fun and games, and like what you do, for example, is included in that, you know, what people like yourself and creators do, it's not just fun and games. This is something that this is keeping the country up. I mean, not having sports, we used to find our morale in a sense based off of sports. Like when the Miracle on Ice happens, you sort of see the country coming together. You'll see people find hope in sort of like the joy of competition and the agony of defeat. This kind of, so it's not just sports to people. I know people who tattoo like football teams on their body because it's bigger than just football. It ain't just like a game. Oh, well, I mean, those guys out there. No, this is real. So when you're watching Netflix, those are artists. Those are creators. It's just like the painters of the Renaissance era. It's just movable images. They're giving you their heart and soul. And you're sitting here consuming it for 12 hours, 15 hours, 10 hours. It's bringing your family together, keeping people from, like, going crazy. Because, I mean, it's that impactful. And you don't even really recognize it because it's something that kind of gets lost in, like, oh, okay, that's just Hollywood or that's just entertainment. It's like, no, this is a way of life. Most of the things I do and love.
Right now.
Yes.
So
I'm excited,
right,
man.
I mean, people are, you know, they need it right now. And, it, you know, that's the one cool thing or one of the cool things about this whole thing, which it is, I mean, people dying and stuff, you know, I mean, that's not good at all. But the thing is it is really showing all the creative people that are making creative content. You know, even Trevor Noah without a shave, you know, we're watching this stuff. We have to. You know? Because it would get real, and you know that's the thing. Danny and I were talking about this, and you know we were talking about the Great Depression and what we've read about it and this and that. I said, well, big difference is we have Wi-Fi. We have
yes, that's a really big difference. Can you imagine you couldn't communicate in the 20s. I mean, if you had to send you a letter about what's happening in Georgia or L.A. and you would get it 6 months later. It's like, oh, my God. Like, it could be send help. It could be, hey, we're on our way to you. Don't come here. And you're on your way to us on horse and carriage. I mean, it's just so weird. You can't communicate,
it's
man. And I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. Like, you have pigeons.
People, smoke signal, you know, whatever you got to do. And, you know, and that we were talking about that, and I said, you know, that's why Orson Welles' War of the World freaks people out, because they're one source of information, you know, that aliens were invading. They couldn't verify that. Well, let me Google search that and see what, you know, CNN is saying or
God. I love that. That was so great. I love Orson for that. That was amazing, just to get on the radio and not put any context to it. And just legitimately just talk as if it's really happening. Oh my God! Without images, he was painting such a picture, and that would have freaked me out, man. Yeti, the Bigfoot, you know, out of anything at that point. The Yeti's coming. Like anything is real at that point. That's why I think scares me, or I don't know if it scares most people. If you see something, it will debunk a lot of things. And I think that's the most scary part about when you have these kind of stories. Because if you see an alien, for example, now your mind begins to wander even more. It's like, okay, if this is real, then what else is real? You know, oh my God, everything we thought we knew now has become. And I don't think people are ready for that. I mean, you just kind of see now, man.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
It's terrifying.
That's what, like, your series Paragon, I was really intrigued by. I tell you, this happened a couple of years ago to me, about 10 years ago. I had some medical stuff. I was in the hospital for a couple months, but I had a big surgery, and I woke up. You know, they give you the anesthetic. You they count backwards, and I got to, like, 94, and that's the last thing I remember. And I am not a religious person. I never have been. It's just, I have no problem with people who are, but it's just not my thing, you know. Well, I woke up in the ICU. I came to, I should say. And I'm in the ICU. I look like Neo in The Matrix before they pulled him out of the pod. I got all this shit hooked up to me and stuff. And for a little bit there, I thought, I have been wrong about this whole heaven and hell thing, and this ain't good.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I was terrified. I thought, I'm in hell. This is, and I don't mean that like just, oh, it was hell, you know. No, I thought devils and pitchforks were coming around the corner. You know, I thought this was like a Vigo painting. And when I saw your trailer for Paragon, you know, Danny Trejo and everybody, and I read the thing about, and I'm like, what you're saying is so true, because as soon as you have some little experience, all of your scientific knowledge and everything, you're like, well, you know. I could be wrong on that.
I could be
wrong. And if I was wrong about that, what else have I been wrong on? You know?
What else am I wrong about? Oh, that's a challenge, and I think that's
if I saw a Yeti in the woods, I would be worried. You know?
Right? Who knows?
And
you have no history on that. There's no evidence to say what will and what can't happen. Like, well, he won't come here. Well, I mean, they don't really eat humans, so we should be fine. Yeah, we should be fine. There's nothing wrong. No, man, it's so great. That's a great story.
I was working with Trejo on that. I've heard
Trejo
he's wicked cool.
He's the coolest dude. Trejo is so cool that he doesn't even try, and you just kind of – it's like watching – I don't know how to say this in any other way. It's like watching just a living legend, pretty much. So he knows that he's just him. So he doesn't do anything special in a sense. So we were outside filming, and he just walks out with no shirt on, and the people that are there are making stuff. Yeah, just no shirt. People are making stuff in the warehouse, and they're like, is that Danny? And he sees him, and he jumps up into the warehouse, and he starts, like, taking pictures with fans. He starts, like, walking through, like, shaking hands and greeting people. And, yeah, how you guys doing? Yeah, we're working on this show. It's a cool movie. Come look at it. Yeah, come watch. I'm going to come kick some ass. Yeah, come on out. And he's just inviting people, tell them about, hey, I got Trejo's Tacos. You want to go? Yeah, just come hang out. He walks through his own restaurant that way. He just walks through Trejo's Tacos just randomly. Just shows up.
Right.
Just starts shaking hands and taking pictures. He's just cool as shit, man. It's like, oh, my God, dude. Like, how cool is that? And so when we're doing scenes, it's the same way. But he scared the hell out of me because he has that voice and his face. It just, you know, he's used to doing action. So we cut, right? He'd be like, I'm going to kill you if you understand that. Pow! And then we go cut, and he'd look at me. Did you like it? And I was like, yeah. Like, I don't know, you know, I don't want to give him any notes.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like, I don't want to get
he might
like,
kill you.
Okay, why would I do that? No, I'm just saying, like, maybe you would grab him and smile. You want me to smile? No, not smile, but the way you would smile. You know what? Don't smile. No smiling. Yeah, I'm not going to smile. I understand. Don't worry about that. Let's just move on. We just move on. Just, you know,
oh,
and then
man.
I'm like, it's so crazy, man. It's really difficult for me to kind of get over the starstruckness of trying to film with people you grew up watching.
Right.
So it's
right.
So odd. It's such a surreal
such
experience.
A cool
I never.
Job, you know?
Oh, it's so amazing. You know, I have great people around me that help put me in position, you know, to do that, man. And I'm so grateful for them. Just the
That's
people,
awesome.
You know.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month, second phone $0 per month after $31.25 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
How's she doing? Is she, she's working hard with you and everything as well?
Working hard on this. Getting ready to close this out. I mean, this is the biggest project of my life. I hope the next time we're able to get on, if we're fortunate enough to cross paths, you know, if you're not too big.
Oh, absolutely.
You're ready, you know, yeah. If you're not, you know, at that point doing your Trevor Noah thing and you can't just kind of
right.
have anyone on. I had to go through your agent's cousin's agent, manager's
right.
assistant to get a call.
It'll be the other way. It'll be the total
yeah.
other way. You guys trying to get a hold of Justin. It's like, hey, who?
Like trying to get
on.
I don't know. He doesn't have a phone. Justin doesn't have a phone. No, it's just this is the biggest thing in our lives. And this is that moment where the biggest risk, the biggest
reward,
gamble,
man.
But it's the biggest everything. So I think right now we're all of us are focused on giving the best story we can, telling the best story we can tell, and making sure Paragon's the best it could be, and with projects like Abominable coming out, we're just making sure that we're getting ready to, and this is it. This is that moment. This is our Star Wars or Jaws, whatever you want to put in there. Yeah, this is it.
Yeah. So. And this could, you know, taking risks like you're talking about is in any business, in any creative endeavor, you know, there comes those moments, those projects where, you know, it's the difference between, you know, it's so funny. I was at a party the other day, somebody was talking, and we were talking about people that like to be big shots. And they were, you know, I was saying, well, this actually wasn't the other day, this was a couple months ago. But I haven't been to a party in forever. But I was saying, you know, a lot of people think flying in first class is, you know, oh, you've made it. No. People that really know when you own the plane, you've made it.
Yes, exactly. Way different.
And this is
way
one of those
different
projects that could propel you into that. You know, I mean, that could happen. Correct. Easily happen, you know.
Correct. Oh,
and then
God.
Just think of the projects you can make when you got that behind you. You know what I mean? Then it's like, oh, yes, we can do Empire Strikes Back now. Not a problem.
Yes, you know? Exactly. It takes that. It takes believing in yourself. And this was just the ultimate believe in yourself moment, and I can rest easy because I think, again, you talked to me during Alien Random Man and before, we're talking 2 or 3 years of maybe even 4. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been doing this for so long. I've always been like, okay, how do you step out there? And I said, you know what, man, everything was so comfortable as in, okay, how do you make that? How do you do this and do that and make a horror film? Don't make a horror film, make a whatever. And I was like, you know, let's just
throw
all costs.
Well, you're making a couple of years.
Yes, I was doing because I was doing it. I was like, how do you? I was trying to learn also tell good stories because I would do a story. I would get told before I even got the budget or when I was working with investors to work on a movie, they would tell me outright, hey, we don't really care about the story. We just want you to just do something that sells, right? And I was like, yeah, I can't really do that. And so you see my movies, they came out. If you go back and watch like The Elf, it would be so much shit going on. You're like, why didn't he just have this little thing just kind of stab a few people, you know, and I don't know, just something simple. Just,
you're an artist.
Move on. Yeah, I was like, I can't do it. I just can't. I was like, they would call him and say, dude, why are you still spending your own money? We just wanted an Elf movie. We didn't even need all of the snow and the, what are you doing? Like, just bring us this. I said, dude, I can't do it. Like, I can't do it. I just can't put my name on something where I was like, here you go. Now, you can hate it. You can say, yo, you need that. You had the Trevor Noah budget. You're in the basement. You're looking rough. You can say whatever you want, but you won't say, yeah, that was simple. Like, Alien Random, why'd you go to Iceland? I said, because we need to go to a foreign planet. I can't shoot this in my basement. It doesn't make sense to do an alien movie in the front yard. I don't understand it. There's cars and this reality. We have cars and this is space with cars.
Right.
That's what's going on. It doesn't make any sense. So that's it. I mean, this is the first time with Paragon. I was like, you know what? I have no clue. No one told us what to do. No one gave us a safety net. There's no promises. I have no clue. I have zero clue.
The scary part about that is you're on the hook, you know what I mean? You were signing them checks. And
yes.
I think a lot of people that aren't in the creative business, maybe they're not used to that. They never had anything like that experience, you know, where it's like, okay, I'm risking the house, the future.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Literally. Everything.
You know?
Everything. I could have just stopped, man. I put everything I've earned in films, everything I've, you know, gained over my lifetime, like literally everything. I'm talking, this is almost like if I had a son or a child, I'd say, all right, son, I'm going to put, you know, $1 million into you going to Harvard because I want you to become whatever, the top physician ever. So you got to go to Harvard.
Right.
And I just go pay for it. But I paid for it, like prepay, but I don't know if my son's going to actually become. Like, you can drop out. I'm like, but we don't get that back. What are you doing? Exactly. Who knows? Year two.
Calling
like,
for bail.
I don't really want to be in a position.
Oh, exactly.
So you just,
exactly.
You don't know.
Well, dude, and, you know, I'm telling you, man, I am telling, and I don't want to sound misogynistic or anything, but as a guy, Jeez, man, I can only imagine, you know, putting, standing at that craft table, you know what I mean? And your wife looking at you or your significant other or whatever, you know. Man, mm-hmm. That's got to be a good sale, you know.
Yes, it's a tough one. I'm with you on that. I think it doesn't even, and I know what you mean too. It's just one of those things where no matter who you with, everyone, your family, your loved ones, you're all in this together. So when you make that decision, you have to believe. Because someone at that table would be like, okay, Justin, look, this sounds great. I want to.
I'm glad you have a dream.
I'm glad you have a dream. Listen, however, how about just do something where it's just you and a few buddies, just kind of, you know, just messing around, and if you want to call it Paragon, that's cool. If you want to call it something else, but just spend about $5,000, you know, just a little practical. Don't go all in. Just spend a little bit. Like, go to Vegas and pay the $5 table. Don't put all the money on black. Just go in there, gamble $100 away in $10 tables and have fun, get free drinks, smoke, whatever you want to do. Just then you went to Vegas. Yay. I was like, no, because you won't win. Like, scared money don't make money. So there was no reason.
And that's the difference. When I moved, I remember when I moved to Southern California and I started hanging out with film people. Because when I went to college in Boston, all the people I knew were band people. The big dream, they all wanted to be rock stars. That was the dream, you know. Fly and play mm-hmm. state models, party a lot. The serious ones weren't like that. But then I moved to California, and then I met film people. And everybody's dream was to have that infinity pool in Malibu where it looked like it was going mm-hmm. off the cliff, you know, and the Tony Stark house.
Yes.
But you don't get there not taking risks. Anybody
exactly.
successful that I've known, they say we took a risk. We did exactly what you're doing. So, you know,
exactly.
This is exciting for me to see from a distance. You know?
Awesome. No, thank you. No, I wish I was sometimes from the distance excited too. Like, hey, okay, you just spent all your money. Great. Oh, no, that is a great, great point. Because, again, I believe in my heart of hearts and deep in my soul, this is what I want to do. So I'm doing it. Like, I figure it doesn't make sense to me because I hear so many times, like, people have dreams. And then they're working towards that dream, which is amazing. I do understand it. But they don't give everything to the dream. They give everything to the idea that eventually you get to do the dream. And that's what I'm always inspired by people like you. You're not waiting. You don't sit back. You don't make excuses. You get up and you put the work in. You have, I don't even need to count. I'm pretty sure over hundreds of shows. You know, it's not five shows. You haven't done six interviews in a year because you only had the weekend off, you know. You're not doing one a month because you're tired.
Well,
we're kind of stressed.
And, Justin, you know this because I'm sure, you know, younger filmmakers are – and I don't want to say younger. People newer to the business or whatnot probably want to be doing what you're doing. Of course they do, you know. You've got the coolest job in the world. You know, literally. But what they, you know, people ask me, they're like, oh, you know, I want to be a painter or I want to do podcasts and whatnot. And I'm like, well, that's great. I can understand a 16, 17-hour day is what we call a Tuesday. And that
exactly.
happens every week, you know, and every day.
Every day. Every day. All day. Like, you never clock out. That's what I don't think it really mm-hmm. has to. There's no such thing as off time. I mean, I'm writing a script right now, working with 2114 Media. With Quincy Newell. I'm working on another show with Lamise for LGBTQ platforms. I'm working on another series. It doesn't stop. Like, there's no such thing as, I'm going to take a minute. I'm going to take a second. I'm still doing Paragon, so how can I write another script? No one cares. It's like, we have to move. You have to do everything you need to do to continue to invest into the dream, or the dream dies. There's nobody around clapping for you. There's no one that's like giving you a Gatorade as you cross the finish. You know, here you go, one more lap. It's just you.
All they're doing is setting another marathon up in front of you. Yeah, and that's the way it is. And you better be you know, for anybody listening that wants to get into any of this type of stuff, that's the way it is, man. And you better be cool with that. Understand that. There isn't any shortcuts. There isn't any, you know, and it isn't just a,
none.
So much work. Yes, there's luck involved to a degree also, but you have to put yourself in those positions where luck can happen. You know, it ain't just
correct.
Nobody's going to walk down the street and go up to Justin and say, Justin, here's $10 million, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You got a nice
for no reason. Exactly.
I wish they would.
Exactly.
You know, but it ain't going to happen. You get real hungry waiting for that to happen.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, real hungry, or it's just naive thinking that that's how it works. So I think, oh my God, this it is. I'm just beyond excited, man. I'm impatient because I'm so excited to see how
right.
the response is going to be, you know, to Paragon. I'm just so excited. I really am.
Let's definitely stay right in touch. You know, I know we're buddies on Facebook and everything. Well, I want to know, as soon as you know something and can announce it to the public, let me know. We'll have you back on and we can, you know,
awesome.
Just spend an hour laughing, going, ha, 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 it worked. You know, because I want to be
actually,
there.
Actually, my assistant
happens,
will
yeah.
be on by then, so I'll definitely have.
That's right.
My assistant will be on.
He's lighting a cigar right now with $100 bill.
He's lighting a cigar on his plane, right now, on his plane.
Right. On his G6.
On his G6, exactly.
Oh, man. That's funny. You know, and the reality is, we joke about that, ladies and gentlemen, but the reality is, Justin wouldn't be. He'd be working on the next project, making calls, sending emails, setting it up.
Exactly. Yeah, it
in Czechoslovakia or someplace.
So.
You know, freaking people out. Oh, that's funny. Well, Justin, he comes out, Abominable comes out, when does it come out? April 14th from Uncorked Entertainment. Fantastic distribution agent or company. I can't wait to see it. Can people pre-order and whatnot now?
Yeah, I think so. iTunes right now, it should be available. Cool. And you know it's going to come out on all the other platforms, Amazon, Hulu's, and YouTube TV, YouTube Movies, and Fandango Now, and eventually Tubi.
Nice.
You know, it's just Walmart.
And you got a couple
get most
things
of those
on
dates
Tubi, too. That's a
oh,
cool
you can do
platform,
it. You can do it just
you know?
The price. Marathon on Tubi right now. If you just go to Tubi, you can type in Justin. You can have a. I wouldn't recommend it unless you really, you know, because it's a lot of horror movies. So, but you know,
right.
it's there, man. You can. I was like, oh my goodness, this is like Googling yourself. This is crazy. This is all the work that everyone's put in, man, and that's all I think about.
I like that little platform of Tubi. It's you know, everybody's got it on the Roku. If you don't, you need to have it, ladies and gentlemen, on your Roku. It's got a ton of stuff on there. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a new world, Justin. People are watching your movies on their phone, on their TV, you know, wherever. We put it on the big screen, of course, but, you know, the way it should be,
oh, it's there.
In my opinion, being
there.
A film snob. But it's there. It's,
oh.
it's all out there. That's very, very cool. When does Paragon drop? Or we don't know yet. It's still
listen,
in
it was well, with the current status of what's happening, it, the odd thing is it could happen earlier than I thought. Or it could be later because right now content cannot be created minimum for the next 3 to 4 months, minimum. So we're talking
Everybody
we may not see productions get back up and running until September or August, just getting up and running. So you won't be able to kind of produce the content until the end of the year, until later into the year. So if you didn't have series kind of
Isn't
already
cool
in production, but you had to shut it down.
Package. Ready to go.
Ready to go.
Friend.
Exactly. Exactly. So, hey, Netflix, how you guys doing? Thank you for calling, you know? Hey, Disney Plus, thank you for calling.
Nice. So. Nice. I love it. Well, we're almost out of time. And as always, it's such a great time when you're on the show. I really appreciate you taking time to be on it and whatnot. I know you're busy and, you know, you got
a
million things going on. But, you know, you're cool, turned up to 10, and just keep doing what you're doing. You're so good at it. You're so inspiring to me, you know. I love talking
Thank
you.
Thank you. No, you are too. Thank you. That's so humbling. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you for this opportunity every time and just for being just a great, great, great energy, great vibration for the universe, man. So thank you. Keep vibrating and drawing in great minds.
Thank you, man. That's awesome. Cool. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight, folks. We have links, of course, to the various Justin Price Facebook pages and whatnot, his production company and all this, net IMDb, of course. So like those, you know, get out there and like and share. Keep this energy going. And, maybe if you got some free time, which we all do, maybe send Netflix a little email and say, hey, I heard about this cool series. Check it out. You never know.
Exactly.
People do that.
Oh,
yeah. Phones will start ringing. Very, very cool. Well, thanks again, Justin. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight.
All right.
Keep doing what you're doing, and best to you and all your people. Everybody, I hope everybody's safe and secure and good. You know.
Yes. Yes. You too. Stay safe. Sending good energy to you and your family.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, folks, we're right up against the time. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various platforms and all the podcasting platforms. We're on about 250 of those right now. The big one is Apple Podcasts. The show is always free. We add commercials later when we convert it to the podcast. That's how we pay for everything. So, support our sponsors and our advertisers. And I would like to welcome again, man, we've got a ton of new listeners. I wonder why. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for listening. It's cool. We'll see you tomorrow. Everybody have a great night. And again, Justin Price, pre-order Abominable. I'll put the iTunes link up just as soon as I find it when the show's off here. So click on that. Pre-order that right now because you're going to want to see it. We will see you all next time. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.